Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we want to take a close look at one of the most glorious verses in the entire Bible. Today, we want to think deeply about the second verse in the third chapter of the New Testament letter of 1 John. So for the sake of context, I'll begin today by reading the first three verses in 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Now, as I say, when we think about it, verse 2 is a glorious verse. John says that when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him. What can John possibly mean by this? Well, let's take a close look at the verse. The first thing we notice is that the apostle once again refers to his readers as children, meaning the children of God. Then he says, what we will be has not yet appeared. And he continues saying, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Now really, that's utterly astounding. If we step back and take a wide-angle view, John is saying this. He's saying, my friends, as born-again believers, as unique individuals who have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are children of God. That's the current state of a believer. That's the current state of a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. We presently are children of God. And then John declares an additional truth. John declares that not only are we children of God in our present state of being, one day we will be like Jesus. One day, on the day of Christ's second coming, true Christians will be like Jesus Christ. Now that is a magnificent truth. Friends, the truth is that in Christ we are children of God. Not that we will be children of God. We are children of God. And one day we will be like Jesus Christ. Now John says that what we will be has not yet appeared. And what he means is that the true, unfiltered, openly visible display of the character we will possess has not been made fully known. The children of God do not yet fully know all of the aspects of our own character in our future glorified state. John is emphatic, though. He's absolutely clear that believers can be fully confident that this glorious change in our own personal character will occur in the future when Christ appears. There's no hint of doubt for John. John doesn't say, we speculate that we might be like Him. No, John says that without a shadow of a doubt, we will be like Christ someday in the future. Now, we have to be careful here. The Apostle John says that immediately upon the return of Jesus Christ, Christ's followers will be gloriously changed and will be like Him. This is a promise of our future glorification. It's a promise that we'll be fully transformed into the absolute perfection that God desires for us. No longer will we have the limitations of our experience in our earthly bodies. We'll be free of disease and sin. Our resurrected bodies will be like Christ's, and our sanctification will be complete. Now, the phrase like Him shouldn't be misunderstood as being Christ. John's not saying that believers will one day be equal to Christ, and John's not teaching that believers will become little gods, as some falsely teach even today. Believers can never be equal to Christ, since Christ is infinite in all of His attributes. The children of God, even in our glorified state, are finite. But we'll be similar to Christ in holiness, and we'll be without sin. Now this is amazing. God's ultimate goal for our life is to make us like Jesus. The Apostle Paul had the same future vision for the followers of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul wrote this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." Now, this does not mean that we cease to be ourselves. This doesn't mean that the distinct personality and the character that God has given each of us will somehow be eradicated. Heaven won't be like the nirvana of Eastern mysticism, which teaches that its occupants lose all personal identity and all desire. This is not the biblical view of eternity, and it does not conform to the worldview of Jesus Christ. Believers will still be unique individuals, but our character and nature will be perfected into the image of the perfection of Jesus. We'll be wonderfully unique, glorified saints. We won't be clones of Jesus, and we won't be little Christs as some falsely teach, but we'll be in the likeness of Jesus. Friends, as you know, sin presently still remains in our earthly bodies. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, we're forgiven by God and released from the penalty of sin. But in the process of our Christian growth, we still have to do battle against sin until we die or until Jesus returns. But when Christ does return, we'll instantly receive our new resurrection bodies, and at that moment, we'll be freed from the presence of all sin. The Apostle Paul had the same hope as he looked forward to the return of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 55, the Apostle Paul wrote the following, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Okay, finally today, at the end of verse 2, the Apostle John says, "We shall see him as he is." Now, friends, this is the wonder of heaven. We shall see Christ as he is. The greatest glory of eternal life is not to be free from sin, as true as that is. The greatest glory of eternal life is not that we'll be personally glorified in both our immaterial and material being, as true as that is. The greatest glory of heaven is that we shall see Him as He is. Our vision will no longer be blurred to the full beauty of Jesus Christ. Eternity is precious to Christians for many reasons. We long to be with loved ones who have passed on before us. We long to be with the great men and women of God who have passed on before us in the centuries past. We long to be free from the ugliness, horrors, and corruption of sin. We want to experience the beauties of heaven, and we want to see the angels around the throne of God worshiping Him day and night. We want all these things and more. But what makes heaven heaven is the unhindered, unrestricted presence of the Lord Jesus. What makes heaven most precious, most wonderful, is that we will see and experience the radiance and glory and majesty of God Himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul was considering these future glories of heaven and the return of Christ when he wrote this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Today, my friends, we see dimly. When Christ returns, we will see fully. In the ancient world, mirrors were much different than the mirrors we have today. Today, we can go to the market and purchase a mirror which offers a clear, reflective image. This was not the case in the ancient world, where mirrors were made out of polished metal, and the image was always unclear and somewhat distorted. Paul uses that example to teach that today, as faithful and growing followers of Jesus, we still see dimly, but the day will come when we will see him with perfect clarity. On that day, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, we invite you to join us this Sunday at Gate Tree Church in Danville. Location and service time info can be found at gatetreechurch.org. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.